uncover the secrets of your unique, creative, entrepreneurial brain and learn how to control it so you can finally live up to your true potential. Yes, many things that are easy for other people are challenging for us. But if we learn how to control our interest-based nervous system, we can do things that other people can't even imagine. I'm your host Maurice, and I will help you to understand yourself and teach you the tools, techniques, and behaviors that will unlock clarity, energy, and focus. Welcome to the ADHDers podcast. So, how do I pronounce the name? Alka Chopra?
Alka.
Alka Chopra. Is that right? Great. Today, I'm here with Alka Chopra. She's a registered dietitian and a self-care advocate. But Alka, I think it's best if you just describe yourself. Who are you? What do you do? How have you come to the person you've been today? Whatever.
Okay. That's a very hard question. Thank you, Maurice, for having me on the show. And it's a very hard question to answer because there's so many things that we do and you evolve over time. So it's a journey. So to where I am at today, so I'm a dietitian, like what you mentioned, and I'm a diabetes educator as well. So what happened was during all these years, I've been into this practice for over, 25 years. Mm-hmm. So my practice has been in teaching, in corporate, in the nonprofit sector, you name it, it's been there. So, and most recently, I have been focusing more on chronic disease management, and their diabetes has been the main focus. So all along, what I found was that people were really neglecting themselves and not focusing on their own needs. Yeah, you have family, you have friends, you have loved ones. All that is good. You need to take care of them, but at the same time, you are. Again, I'm not saying don't take care of your family and or your children or whoever, but you need to take care of yourself also, and you need to take responsibility because no one is going to come and take care of yourself. And since then, I have been investing a lot of time in self-management. So I'm here in Toronto in Canada. So here we have a huge focus on self-management of chronic disease or, for that matter, any kind of condition, right? Mm. So that's where the whole self-care piece came into picture. So that's why I said I'm a self-care advocate. Really advocate for yourself, your own needs, whether it needs speaking up, whether your partner, with your children, with your loved ones, whoever, or you need to focus on yourself and speak up for yourself. That, you know what, I need this time to myself. And I really need that break, or I really need to, go to the basement or wherever you are, or I really need to go for a walk, whatever the case may be. So that's where all this is coming from. And I've been doing it now for quite some time. So my practice with my patients and in short, that's how I reached where I am today.
Yeah. It's a great topic and something I mean, I'm 27 now and young male, so alone the term self-care didn't appeal to me at all and I didn't think much of it. But since working, especially in the coaching business, working with people with ADHD and also struggling with some things myself, I'm realizing much more in short, I think it's the essential thing you need to have in place first before you can really perform at the high level and have a holistic life, especially with ADHD. If you don't, or any chronic disease, most likely, if you don't prioritize these things and prioritize your own health, your brain health, you are in this super shut up, all the symptoms get super worse, you can't focus, and there's no need to even try implementing certain techniques to focus or implementing whatever if you don't have the basic and foundation, right? So yeah, definitely I'm looking forward to this topic. So yeah, tell me your definition of self-care. Where does it start? What is it?
Yeah. So self-care is actually a multidimensional concept. And I also think that the term self-care has actually been blown out of proportion. Mm. And people have taken it.
taking a
bath. So it's taking long baths or maybe going to the spa or going for a retreat. You know, that's where it's been really, what do you say, blown. It's been really glamorized. You know, like in the fashion world, they glamorize everything or kind of sensationalize that, okay, if you have to do self-care, the term self-care is, and that is not the reality. The self-care is something that you, as an individual, every single person, you are an individual on your own, and you have to do something every single day for yourself. For some people, it may say, oh my God, I have young children. Maybe I have a, I'm a caregiver for my aging parents or in-laws, whatever it is. Everyone has responsibilities. Now, it does not mean you shy away from those responsibilities and tend to ignore them. No. If you spend like even 10 minutes in a day, I'm 100% sure that 10 minutes a day is doable for everybody. It is just a question of disciplining yourself a little bit and just focusing on yourself, like rethinking back that, okay, you know what, this is the time I need for myself and I can be more productive for the rest of the day. So self-care is not a one and done thing where you go spend, you know, hundreds of dollars or wherever in the world you are, whatever currency you spend, you spend a lot of that money into going to a spa for a half a day and then coming back and feeling relaxed. And then what after? If you do that maybe, I don't know, once in a month or twice in a month, even that's something too much because it's expensive. Or going for a retreat or a vacation, which is also, and in the current time, a vacation is obviously not an option anyways. With the COVID situation, it's just not possible. So self-care is something that you do every single day, and it can be as little as even 5 minutes. So the other day I was talking to somebody who we did deep breathing together. We were just on the show. We did it together, and after, so when you emerge after that deep breathing for like 5 minutes, it is so calming. You yourself, you feel that you have a better hold on your own life, on your own body.
Yeah, absolutely.
So and you need to have a control, or not a control, but a hold of your own thoughts, your own feelings. That is very, very important.
Yeah.
So when I talk of self-care, I talk of self-care in the six pillars of wellness. So I talk in those in those areas. So the first one is physical. So the physical need comes from nutrition, your physical activity, you know, what you eat, what you drink all day long, your snacks, your lunch, your dinner, whatever you're eating, your physical activity, that's physical. Then comes to social, obviously, as the name says, social is socializing with people. You need family, you need friends. So you're going out and having a nice time. That's a social need. Then there is the emotional need. So emotional is how you are really handling your emotions. Everybody has feelings. Everybody has thoughts. And some people are more emotional than the others. But if there is an emotional situation, how do you handle that situation? How do you react to that situation? You know, some people can get really emotional about little things. And then make a mountain out of a mole, like literally. So that is where the emotional piece comes in. And then is the spiritual. Spiritual is how your relationship with yourself, how calm you are, how in the positive. So do you have a positive relationship with yourself? If you don't give yourself that worth, your own self-worth, your self-love, that's where the spiritual piece comes in. The fifth one is intellectual, meaning that how do you develop yourself intellectually, whether you listen to podcasts such as yours, or you listen to so many other podcasts these days, or you read, you like to go to the library, you like to read, you like to maybe read on the internet, whatever, that's the intellectual need. Now, all these five, the physical, social, emotional, spiritual, intellectual, all these actually feed into the last one, that is the occupational, that is your work. Mm-hmm. Because if you are eating properly, if you have good social relationships, you have good self-worth, all this actually goes into how well and how you perform in your workplace. That is occupational. So it's like a whole package that I talk about when we talk about self-care. And tiny habits, I talk about self-care in tiny habits. You don't have to have big changes to do. Just tiny habits, which you put into place 1 week at a time. So you pick one tiny habit, put it into action, and keep repeating it for the entire week, and then see how you feel.
Great.
Yeah. And then keep going. Yeah. So it's small, it's little, and which is more doable, which is more, it's easier to follow through, and you don't need hundreds of dollars for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think big part of starting is just realizing the huge potential and the huge benefit that can come if you shift your mindset and realize that you can only be the best just you for other people and perform at your best and in all the areas, in your occupation, in your relationships, in really giving the world your best self if you first take care of yourself and not run around like crazy all the times, which is a thing that really easily happens to people with an ADHD brain because you're all the time stressed, overwhelmed. Many clients, a story that I get from so many clients, everything, whatever pops into your head at the time, oh, it's urgent now, I don't have time. You just, the whole day, you're running around doing things.
Correct.
Then you are just...
Yeah, and it can be awesome. Very stressful. Yeah, you are... So if you're not... it's always nice to do some planning at the beginning of the day, or have a kind of a set schedule in the beginning of the, when you start your day, whether it means you wake up in the morning and you just sit on the side of your bed and just take 20 deep breaths. That's all. That can be something, it's very small. It takes just about literally 5 to 7 minutes. And if you establish that habit, so there is a book, it's called as The One Thing. So in that, what they say is that you choose one thing at a time, which is exactly what I'm saying for self-care as well. And when you focus on that one thing, what happens is that when you get accomplished in that one thing, it has an impact on the other things that you do. Because the feeling of accomplishment of one thing has a domino effect on all the other things that you do throughout the day. Right? Or in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's one thing, literally one thing that we definitely again need to highlight with ADHD, because that's another tendency.
Yes.
You start one thing and before even following through, that's the next. So really prioritizing, deciding like which area do I want to work in now, then committing to that and finding like a tiny thing. That's why I really would like to talk to the pillars a little more and then also providing some examples as we go to really make it feasible for the people. So
correct. Yeah.
Maybe if you have anything else to add, otherwise we could start with one pillar of your choice.
Yeah. So the only thing I'll say is to choose that one little thing. Okay. And when it comes to prioritization, sometimes we do get carried away in prioritizing other people's needs. Right. But what I am saying is prioritize yourself. So choose that one thing which will make you feel more accomplished, feel more at peace and calm with you, yourself, and you are establishing a positive self-to-self relationship, and then move forward. So that's where the self-care piece comes on. Get that under your belt, get into a habit, and then move on to the other things.
Definitely an important thing to do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot that I have again, back from client experience, but then my kid comes in and I don't have this time.
Well, if a kid needs attention, you have to, right? If the child is small, the child is a year or two, you have to give them attention for sure. But then when the child is settled down, then come back and then do what you needed to do, you know, like in the morning or whatever you settled for yourself.
Yeah. Great. Then I think let's just start with any pillar. Which one do you want to start with?
Okay. So are we discussing all of them or just the one?
Yeah. I mean, all would be the goal, maybe all real quick, at least one example for everything, what you could do.
Okay. Yeah.
But then let's just start with any.
Sure. Okay. So we can start with the physical one, right? So physical one is the nutrition and the physical activity. So there is a saying that, you know, we are what we eat. Whatever you put in your body, So garbage in, garbage out. It's very simple. Mm. And whatever you eat has, and if people might have also heard the mind-gut connection, right? So whatever you feel, the way your day goes by is all dependent on what you eat, how you eat, what time of the day you eat, all those things. So it's not just you have a plate of food in front of you and you're literally gobbling it. Mm-hmm. No, you've got to take the time to really look at the food, that is being more mindful to it. Look at the food, enjoy it, and not have this phone bugging you all the time. That has actually become a nuisance. Yeah, if you have some music running in the background, perfect, that's no problem. But distracted eating is something which is getting more and more common that I see in my practice. And with that, what happens, you don't even realize what you're eating. You don't know what you're eating. And you're literally gobbling food down your throat. And then you're done. Like a food, I'm going to say when you're eating a meal, you should spend minimum probably 15 minutes at least. And you know, people are going to laugh at me and say, you know what, 15 minutes? I don't have that kind of time. Yeah. In reality, you do. If you put away all those distractors, you do have the 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Take your time, enjoy that food, and be more mindful and see what the food is. See the colors of the food that is on your plate. And not even looking at the food and just gobbling also leads to overeating and overweight and all those things as well that come along with it. I could go on and on in it, but we don't have that kind of time. Mm. But definitely, and then making healthier choices, not only for your meals, like your lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but also for your snacks. Because snacks are an equal part of your eating. We only have one stomach. We don't have a separate stomach for snacks. There is one stomach, which is a dumping ground, I'm going to say, for everything. It's important that you make healthy choices even for snacks. You know, not choosing more like chips. If you're hungry, go grab a bag of chips or a chocolate. No, that's not how it works. You have to really plan the way you plan your meals, you should be planning. If you don't, then you should be planning, because meals is something you eat like 3 times a day, even 4 times a day. Some people eat 6 times a day, right? So you have to really invest a little bit of time in planning of those meals so that you eat properly.
Definitely,
And eat, you know, when people eat more of the fried foods and fast foods, processed foods, all that has an impact on your mood, on the way that you feel all day, and your focus as well. So when you are investing your time and even your money, because food is expensive, it's not cheap. So there's money that's going in into purchasing food, whether you do fruits and vegetables. So try to get some more fresh foods under your in your meals rather than the packaged foods.
Yeah, that's the easiest, simple solution, but it's just the most benefits, like just go for the less processed food. Yeah, with foods, I will definitely do like a deep dive in the whole episode on that. Because again, with ADHD, there's like a huge other complexity with, for example, if you don't make it easy for you to eat healthy, most likely you won't. Like if you have chips and all these impulses to eat bad snacks and lying them around, then you won't do that. So it's really about creating the environment, making it easy to eat the right foods. And,
And then the exercise piece, and the physical element, which is the exercise piece. Exercising is as much as you can do, as your body allows you to do. If you can do 15 minutes every day, 15 minutes is fine. If you can go for a walk, you know, you don't need to spend a lot of money. There's lots of exercise videos on YouTube. YouTube is loaded. You can follow along with those. So try to, and if you'll enjoy a sport or a game, something like that, you can do that as well. Mm. So that's the physical piece. Then coming to the social piece. So social is obviously socializing with your friends. Try to go out with your friends, socialize. And now again, socializing again does not. So for all these elements, you don't have to spend money. That's my bigger I'm going to say message. Mm-hmm. Right. So social, it could be going for a walk with a friend. Could be going and having a cup of tea at the local tea, your cafe, whatever, wherever you are in the world. So it could be just spending, or if not, spending some time just with yourself. Maybe you want to sit in the patio and in the backyard, wherever, and or taking you in a class. If you like to take classes, maybe you want to do a music class. Maybe you want to do a crafting class, a painting class. I teach painting myself. That's where my social connection comes for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
Right, where I'm teaching painting, and I do crafting and painting myself also. Now, all this has an impact on my emotional also, because when I'm involved in an activity which I really enjoy, it is an emotional connection with me, for me, with the work that I'm doing. So I'm able to handle emotions much better. Why? Because I'm much more at peace with myself. And the emotional piece also comes into self-worth, like I had said to you before, because when I'm spending some time, maybe creating a piece, a wall picture, or maybe painting a mug or anything that you're doing. So because I establish a good relationship with my own self, with my own emotions, I'm able to interact positively with my peers. So whatever you do to yourself, be kind to yourself. Don't be harsh to yourself. Whatever you do to yourself, that is exactly how you will behave with your other people that you interact with.
Yeah. So it also doesn't have to be a complex thing, but you just need to put in the conscious effort before first, and thinking like, where can I get some social connections that are like the right fit for me, and then commit to incorporating them and finding a way really to have those connections, because
we
are social beings. So if there's no connection at all, it's not a good and healthy way to live. It won't do that in the long term.
Yeah. And the social connection can also be with your husband, with your children.
Mm.
You could be going out, like for me on a personal level, I spend a lot of time with my children. So we go out, I have two children, so my children are older, but I will, for example, with my daughter, so with her, so both of us, we like to do a lot of artwork together. So we do it together. So that is my social connection. So I spend a lot of time with her. It again depends on your lifestyle. So you've got to really sit back and think what you really want to do and what you enjoy the most.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then coming to the spiritual. So once I have my emotions in place, then my spiritual connection with me, myself, gets better, because I have a good relationship with myself. So if you were to draw a Venn diagram where you have the circles which are overlapping with each other, each pillar of wellness is interlinked with each other.
Mm. So everything is connected.
They're not isolated. It's everything is connected. Okay. And then the intellectual, always think of developing yourself. Whether you like to read the newspaper, whether you like to read the news, whether you like to read magazines, whether you want. These days there are so many books. The Kindle books are so cheap. Sometimes you even get them for free.
Mm-hmm.
If you go on Amazon and if you search for free Kindle books, you'll have a whole list of them. So you can download them on your phone. I have so many on my phone. I don't have a Kindle reader, but I have them on my phone. You can download the Kindle app on your phone, and you can download those Kindle books. And that's something, if that is something that you enjoy intellectually, that's what you do. Right? So growing yourself, whether you like to listen to podcasts, okay, or even if you like to watch movies, that's fine too. It all depends on what you like. So continue to grow yourself, grow your brain, and continue to think positive and grow yourself in an intellectual manner. Having intellectual discussions with your in the house, with your children, with your parents, with your grandparents, whoever, whatever life stage you are at. So because you always learn, and be open to feedback, and be open to other people's viewpoints. Because you are not always right. The other person can be right also. And they might also have a better perspective than you yourself. So be open to that. You know, a lot of people get very egoistic, that it's I'm at fault. Let go of that ego. I know it's easier said than done, but definitely
that's another deep
that's another story. Yeah, but be open, being open to what other people's perspectives and what they're saying and what they're thinking is a good way to grow intellectually. Right, and then when you have all these, then comes to the occupational. Now, people might say that I don't work, I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I'm retired, or whatever it is. Well, even then, you are in an occupation. Even when you are a stay-at-home mom, you are still taking care of the family, you're taking care of the children. Even that's a big job, right? So occupation does not mean you have to necessarily go and be working and earning money. No, that's not the case. It is whatever stage you are, whatever is going on in your life at that time, even if you are retired, there's so many things that you can do. You can do volunteer work, right? So you have so much time, you can do volunteer work. You can be spending time with your grandchildren if you have grandchildren living nearby or in the family, whatever, or if they live far away, spend time with them or spend time with your spouse, because that is a time, or learn something new, right? So again, and these days there are so many free things that are available. It is only a matter of looking it up, searching, and really being open to new things, new learning in all these pillars. So that really makes you a much better person, a much better human being. And that really happens with self-care. Mm-hmm. Slowly and surely.
Absolutely.
One at a time.
If we talk about the emotional pillar, is it getting positive emotions in, handling negative emotions, dealing with emotions? What kind of activities?
Yes.
Wish you...
Yeah. So when it comes to emotions, it really means how you handle emotions. Right? Sometimes there are emotions. Say it could be. Say you've had somebody, a loved one pass away, for example, right? It can be a very emotional situation for some people, but that is the reality of life. So you have to really handle that with in a very calm manner, right? And just take it. It's like I said, it's very hard for a lot of people, and some people just get carried away by emotions. That my life has ended. No, your life has not ended. You know, this is the cycle of life. So really coming to terms with your, and thinking forward that, okay, now this is it, this has happened. What do I do next? What do I do next to get my life back under control? Or there could be an argument with your bestie, right? And then the emotions come really heavy. And then when those emotions come heavy, some people get really abusive. Some people get very, they use not the best language. That's where you're handling the emotions. Mm. And depression, for example, is actually when people cannot handle their emotions. So really handling your emotions. And if you need help, if you think that, you know what, I really need to talk to somebody and I need help to talk to somebody, help me handle my emotions. Sometimes just talking helps. Pick up the phone, talk to somebody whom you trust. Trust is another complete factor also. You don't trust everybody. So if you trust somebody, if you think somebody can really listen to you, now listening is also completely a different, you and me could be talking, but am I listening to you? Maybe I'm just, so whatever you're saying, I'm taking it from one ear and out from the other. Mm. Right? So those are all different things, but I'm just saying, so handling your emotions, if you need the support, ask for the support. There are, I don't know, you're in Berlin, right?
Germany, but no. Düsseldorf, it's west of Germany.
Yeah. So I don't know what the services are there, the community services are over there. But if there are services like that, maybe if you need to seek help, go ahead and seek help. Here in Canada, we do have all those community supports for sure, where people can actually go and talk to a counselor. So if you want to do that, you can definitely do that. That's where because when you are able to handle emotions, you are able to establish a good relationship with yourself. You know, when we talk to ourselves saying, oh, I'm useless, I'm no good, and I have really low I'm not good at anything. And when we start doing comparisons with other people, that's where negative emotions start to come into our own thought process.
Yeah. If there's one thing, as an example, someone who was stressed all the time, feeling anxious, overthinking yes. things, running around all the time, and he wants to start working on emotions, what would be like one tiny habit, or where could they start if they have like this feeling all the time?
Yeah. Say, for instance, you are getting, so number one, I would say is, maybe you want to write down, do some self-reflection, write down on a piece of paper. Yeah. That what are those situations? And that paper notebook is just for you. Nobody else. Only you get to read it. Write down on a piece of paper that what are those things that you don't like about a person, about a situation, and how do you really react? Do you get angry? Do you start using abusive language? Do you just move away and just shut down? You know, some people just shut down. They just don't, so you want to start writing those things down. And then when you want to go back and then read them again, and then you want to start working on just one of those. Right? Say, for example, you want to answer. So say you are talking, you're having a discussion with somebody and you don't like something that the other person is saying to you. So some people shy speaking up what's there in their mind. So maybe you want to count. And that's how I got over mine. This is years ago, where I remember we were in a conference and I wanted to ask a question, but I was very scared that what are other people going to think of my question? Mm-hmm. Like there's hundreds of people sitting in this conference room. And if I stand up and I ask my question, what are people going to say and think of me, that what a silly question? A lot of the things that we think are our own creation. No one cares at all. No one does. Mm-hmm. So what I personally did was I just said, okay, you know what, Alka, I close my eyes, count to 10, 1, 2, at the count of 10, I am going to stand up and I'm going to ask my question. That is exactly what I did. And since then, so I counted 10 in my head. Maybe I don't remember now, it's been a long time. And I closed my eyes, I think I did, and then just stood up. Once you stand up and the mic comes to you, right? And then, okay, and this is what my question is. And really, people have no time. No one even reacted, nothing. In fact, it turned out to be a good question. It landed up into a bigger discussion. So it's these are our own limiting beliefs that I am no good. I have no, I cannot answer questions or whatever things are going on in your head. Everyone has that potential. Everyone has that. So start with that. And work on one thing at one time.
Yeah, that's so important. Especially like, again, the ADHD brain. That's the thing where so many people fuck up, because they are like feeling of overwhelmed and they have all the things, especially like all these many areas. And they feel like, oh, I can't just do anything. And because they feel like they have to do everything at once, they don't accomplish anything.
Yeah, so, yes.
Again, another example, pretty similar question to the emotional one. Someone has that feeling like, oh, I don't eat well, I don't do exercise, I don't have many social connections, and emotional, like they have so many things. Where do they start? Because that's why I really love the tiny habits approach, because it kind of helps people to start somewhere.
Yeah. So we'll go to the eating part, right? For example, I have so many people who come to see me in my clinic, and they'll say, so when I take down their history, you know, like from what they're eating from morning to night, you know, and then come up with an assessment or analysis of how they're eating. And what happens is that when people are giving me their information, they will comment while talking to me, oh, I'm eating bad. I know I don't make food good selections. So don't come up with judgments yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't continue to judge yourself. That's the one big thing. So even if you go seek help. So wherever you are, if you can go to a dietitian, definitely see a dietitian. But if you don't have a dietitian, that's no problem also. So you want to start with, there's a lot of good information available on the internet also. So I also have a YouTube channel. If people can want to go to the YouTube channel, they can go to the YouTube channel as well. It's my name, Alka Chopra RD, and the channel is called 1 Week to Your Health. So there's some videos on that. I have about all these factors that we are really talking about. But if you want to really make changes to the way that you're eating, maybe start with just one meal.
Mm.
It is impossible to change the entire day's your breakfast. You cannot do that. It's very overwhelming, and you just cannot do that. Okay, if I give you a plate full of food, I say to you, I have this big plate. It's loaded with food. It's got heaps of rice, a lot of meat, all those things. And I say, Maurice, you've got to finish this. What is going to be your first reaction?
Good question. Depends on how it looks. If it's like in decent portion and it looks good, I will finish
it. No, it's heaped.
Okay. And then I will say, like, I can't do that most likely.
Exactly. So it's overwhelming, right?
Mm.
So the same thing when you decide that, okay, I am going to change my life 360 degrees. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to be a really healthy person. I'm going to eat this, as the guidelines say. Mm-hmm. And then what will happen? You probably will do it one day, 2 days, third day, you will fall off.
Yeah.
And you say, I cannot do it because it is too much. Say, for example, if you are a person who does not eat breakfast and you want to start to eat breakfast, start with that little breakfast. Now, when I'm saying breakfast, breakfast does not mean a sit-down breakfast. So breakfast really means that you are eating something when you wake up in the morning within 1 hour. It could be just a glass of milk, and it could be 5 almonds or any kind of nuts. Is that hard to do? Probably not. Or just a toast. If you're not, you can just have a toast with a little bit of cheese on it, or an egg, for example. So it is as simple as that. So if you want to change a few things, then start small again, one thing at a time for 1 week. So start small. If you want to increase it, some people that I have seen say they want to turn vegetarian. They are just like, I want to turn vegetarian. I want to stop eating meat completely. And they love meat. It is very difficult for somebody who enjoys me eating meat to completely do a cold turkey stop. Okay, so you want to start again small. So you want to start eating meat, let's say 2 times a week. Instead of 5 days a week or 7 days a week, maybe you want to start slow. Or you want to start eating meat on alternate days of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And the other days you are having some vegetarian options.
Yeah.
So there you're putting in small changes. And give yourself the time. If you need 6 months to do this, take the 6 months to do it.
Mm.
But keep consistent. Yeah.
Just to put in my experience with ADHD again, that's one of the culprits that I see a lot, because that's just how we think. We think in extremes. If we think like, oh, it's time to fix my nutrition, then it's super common for us to go, okay, now I'm going to have that perfect nutrition. And to be honest, it is possible, but super, super difficult, especially if you don't have a coach or someone to work with. And even if you're trying to take the radical approach, there still needs to be the not beating yourself up if things go wrong. There still needs to be like, there still will be a path, a development of things. In the beginning, you might mess up sometimes. And then it's super important that you then just not fall back into, okay, I failed, everything is back again. But then keep just accepting the small mistakes and keep improving on that. So no matter if you want to go the extreme route, but even though, like, I think for many people, it's still easier to have like the slow approach, even though like, it's just like the mindset thing. It's just,
it's more doable.
Don't resonate with that a lot, because it's just not how we think in general. It's always like this all or nothing thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is something that people really need to move away, that all or nothing approach, definitely. Because that really does not work. It just does not work. So go slowly. And even if you mess up on any one day, it's okay. You're a human being. You are not a robot. And you have to live. You're not just existing.
Mm-hmm. Having the compassion for yourself.
Yeah. Have some compassion. be kind to yourself. Even if you have made a mistake, it is totally okay. As long as you are thinking positive, you're thinking on how to move forward.
Yeah, moving forward. Persistence, keeping on that and not having this like, okay, it doesn't work. I stop, maybe start another thing. And it's the same cycle as it repeats and repeats and repeats. That's also why I'm big about journaling and having something to externalize, because alone of the fact of writing it down and at least committing to something for like extended period of time is what many people fail in the beginning. Like they don't even, they have it only in their mind. Okay, I'm going to eat well now. And then something other pops in their mind and this project is forgotten and abandoned. Okay. One of the last questions I think will be, if you only could give someone one advice, like someone who's struggling with a lot of things, what would you teach him? What would you tell him?
Yeah. So I'm going to say actually two things. Number one is pick one thing, just the one thing. Right. So you again, think of it as a what is more important to you. I'm going to say even don't even prioritize here. Think of what is more important to you at that point in time. Right. And then you want to write down maybe five things. So 1 to 5. And from those five things, start with one. Okay, so that is one thing. And the second thing that I would say is that it's okay to fail, as long as you rise from it. It's human. It's totally human to fail. So, but even if you fail, keep moving forward.
Great. Yeah, this persistence is really, I mean, I'm an entrepreneur and I think this is also one of the most important things, that just that there are always these failures, these hurdles that you have to overcome, but you have, if you keep pushing, eventually you will go through it and can become super successful, especially with that obsessed ADHD brain. When you learn that skill of persistence, it has a carry over in all these domains. And just like you mentioned, there was a period in my time where I was allotted to eating and the gym. So I got that part of my life pretty good covered. Then like some periods where I was focused on business, some periods where I was focused on social. In the end, you're building up all these skills and knowledge that it's just easier than if you would start like, oh, my life is a mess, my life, whatever, and this feeling of overwhelm is.
So it becomes too much, you know. If you think of doing too many things at the same time, it becomes too much.
And your brain is just overloaded, especially if you don't have a journal or any other structure that helps you structure your thoughts. And you have all this in your head all the time, like, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that, and this and this. It's just a feedback loop in the negative direction, either positive, but if you're spiraling down.
So keeping, you know, like all these things. So what I did was, because I was seeing this challenge, I'm going to say, with many people, so I designed a course which is based on it's called Tiny Habits Mighty Transformation. So that is really based on like small tiny habits which can result in like good transformations in your life.
And is that like also departing self-care? So giving a few examples.
It is based on the 6 elements of wellness that I mentioned to you before. And we talked about that briefly, because it can be a full day discussion really, but that's what it is based on. So it's a 12-week program. And each week there is one tiny habit that we work on.
That's a great approach.
It's a one tiny habit, and then you get it's a combination of some reading material, it's a combination of videos, there is some tutorials as well in that. There's a different ways of learning in it, and there's some webinars as well, in like master classes as well. There's 2 of them in it. So it's all a mix of things. So people are interested, they can look it up, especially because your target, like your audience is ADHD. So one little thing, you know, that is going to be really, really helpful.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Currently, I'm working on like an academy, which has a similar thing, like a holistic approach, helping people in multiple ways. That's exactly the topic I thought about, like how much structure do I have to give them? Because then if you're like, okay, this week it starts, people will come immediately come to war, but I want to do the other things at the same time. So that's kind of the approach, but you have to force them in some kind of structure. But yeah, I will see. How, finding like the right balance of structure and flexibility is like one of the core struggles if you have an ADHD brain, like because you need some amount of structure. If you don't have any structure and only go with your loosely creative whatever pops in your head, that's
not so that's where the whole this course I'm mentioning to you about. So all that information is available. It's on my website. My website is alkachopra.ca. So it's over there. So that's where the whole course is really based on.
Yeah, great. So you already got
A structure. Yeah.
Great. So one last question before you can give people like the link to your website and socials. What is one topic you are most curious about right now and researching, learning about?
What am I most curious about?
Yeah. What just one topic you are at the moment curious about, learning about, diving deeper?
So for me, again, I naturally, by default, I go back to the wellness things. So for me, I think the spiritual and the emotional piece is I'm very curious about how people handle their curiosity, their own relationship with themselves. How do they handle their emotions? Because if you have a good relationship with yourself, you know, the self-to-self relationship, if you have a positive self-to-self relationship, it impacts the other wellness pillars. If you're in a good mood, you'll prepare a good meal.
Yeah.
If you're in a good mood, you have a good relationship with yourself, you will socialize. You will always find things which are which make you happy to do all the time. If you have a good relationship with yourself, you will perform well even at your workplace. Whatever workplace it is, whether it's in your home, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home dad, you're in a business, you're an entrepreneur, whoever you are. So the emotional, the spiritual, those two pieces, I'm naturally very curious when I meet people. That is generally my first go-to. And sometimes when they come to me, I'm not even talking to them about nutrition because those are like those back factors. If you have a control, like I said, if you have a good hold on your own emotions and on your own relationship with yourself, your self-worth, then you have, I'm going to say, won half the battle.
Yeah, definitely. And especially like the spiritual one is also very interesting for me because I feel like this is one of the things that's really missing in the Western world with the decline of religions, especially like in my country, in my age, I hardly know anyone religious. Everyone, and there's just like a whole, we don't have any tribe or any shamanism or whatever that has the spiritual components, and many people are not even aware of it, but nonetheless it's such a huge complex and deep topic. And yeah, definitely hoping there will be, because I feel that's like something that we have huge potential in our society and so many people lacking this component. So there's huge potential in that. Do you have any last tip for that? So if someone wants to...
No, I would just say, think of self-care in a different in a different way, right? So really transform your definition of self-care and don't think of it as a one and done thing. Think of it something that you do every single day in your life.
Great. Yeah. Alka, where can people find you? I'll obviously put the links in the show notes, but if they want to learn more,
The best place is to go to my website. That's alkachopra.ca. And it's got links to my YouTube channel. It's got a link to the course that I mentioned to you about. It's a mini course. So it's not a very heavy, it's not a very high priced course as well. And definitely check it out. And then if you have any questions, feel free to send me an email. My email address, everything is on the website. So the best place is go to the website. It's even got my Instagram handle, Pinterest and everything. Everything is there. So website is the go-to place, alkachopra.ca. Yeah.
Perfect. Then thanks for being guest on the show and sharing your knowledge and experiences. And
oh, you're very welcome.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much, Maurice. If I can do it there.